This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is one of the most economically segregated big cities in the country. That's according to several studies, with certain areas booming with new posh developments like the Museum Reach and Southtown area, and once affordable areas are now becoming less so. The city of San Antonio and other stakeholders have intend to entice builders to come and develop more affordable housing, or to incentivize other aspects of redevelopment to benefit diverse housing options. So there are a lot of ideas are floating around the mayor's task force on preserving dynamic and diverse neighborhoods. So what is on the table? Should the city let the market determine our housing choices, or would you support a bond to support building affordable housing? And what housing issues are you and your family dealing with? We want to hear from you. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. And with me to talk about these issues is Mayor Ivy Taylor. Mayor, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
And also we're joined by Lourdes Castro-Ramirez, the CEO of the San Antonio Housing Authority. Lourdes, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much.
So Mayor Ivy Taylor, let me ask you about this, the task force on preserving dynamic and diverse neighborhoods. What is the focus? What are you trying to accomplish with this task force?
Well, the task force is trying to focus on creating just what the title refers to, diverse and dynamic neighborhoods, creating and preserving them within our city. The task force was created by our previous mayor in the wake of the zoning issues related to Mission Trails Mobile Home Park and concern about displacement of residents there. And so we put together a group of people who have different expertise in this area to talk about how we could be proactive in relation to preserving our neighborhoods and focus on creating mixed income neighborhoods.
So the Mission Trail situation, we had a mobile home park where we had folks living in that area for a long time. Suddenly the land changed hands and people are going to put a nice big a new housing development in that area, and those people get displaced who are living there for a long time. So it's a good story for, you know, we're going to bring in some new housing, we're going to have some development and new jobs in that area, but for the people who live there, not so good story, because now they got to figure out what they're going to do, where they're going to end up. But that was one case. All right, yes. Is that happening a lot?
No, I don't believe that that's happening a lot, but what it points to is the challenge related to affordability. That was the crux of the issue for the people who were being displaced. The rent levels that they were paying when it was a mobile home park was so low that it was hard for them to find anything else comparable in the marketplace.
So what is happening more widespread? What is the situation for folks not living in that situation, but for other folks who are living in apartment complexes and they are seeing rents going up and it's wages stagnating and they're looking for affordable housing options? We're looking now at this growth of multi-generational families living in the same occupancy because they can't afford to, you know, go out and develop their own housing options. You know, people are being squeezed. So is that what this task force is looking at?
The task force is not addressing that breadth of issues, though one of the recommendations that we're making is that we establish a more permanent commission that would focus on neighborhood issues, again, with the crux of the issue being how can we create more mixed income communities and neighborhoods, more mixed-income communities throughout our city. But the way in which you just kind of stated the context points to all the different layers and connections between different policy issues and how they end up intersecting and impacting housing. So we can address them separately or we can look at them together. It's difficult, certainly, to do everything. But again, I think we've got a good start. Some of the factors are local factors, and some of them are related to a broader context of the financial markets and the larger economy.
Right. So, Lourdes Castro-Ramirez, let's bring you in on this conversation, CEO of the San Antonio Housing Authority. What tools do you have to work with as you're dealing with folks coming to you looking for help with their housing issues?
Yeah, so first let me just provide a brief background on who we are and who we serve. So the San Antonio Housing Authority receives primarily federal dollars. About 80% of our budget is federal dollars, dollars that come in from the federal government to support providing affordable housing to low-income residents in San Antonio. Currently, we serve a population of close to 26,000 households. So of the 26,000 households, 50% of the households served are elderly and disabled individuals. And the other 50% consist of families with children. As we look at the overall condition of housing and supply and demand from a sort of a larger perspective, and to Mayor Taylor's point of the complexity of looking at housing, the city's comprehensive housing needs assessment that was recently completed indicates that there is a need for 140,000 new rental units by 2016 in the city of San Antonio. Of the 140,000 new rental housing units that are needed, 90,000 of these units would need to be affordable to be able to address the families that are making below 60% of area median income. And so essentially what that means is that a family of four making $35,000 a year would need to have an affordable housing unit.
So, what does that mean, affordable housing unit? So it only occupies X amount, what percentage of their household budget?
Ideally, affordable, to keep a unit affordable, a family should be spending no more than 30% of their income. What we are finding is that families that are not receiving housing assistance are paying up to 50%, some as much as 60% of their income on rent. And so you're correct, you know, there has been an increase in rental costs. And so the focus that the Housing Authority has is to ensure that families that are that have limited income have an opportunity to move into a quality housing environment and pay no more than 30% of their income. From the waiting list that we maintain, we continue to see that there is growing need and demand. We currently have 40,000 households that are on our waiting list, both Section 8 and public housing. So this, you know, points to a growing need and a growing focus on coming up with a diverse set of strategies to address a need.
40,000 families on the waiting list trying to get some help to deal with affordable housing issues in San Antonio. How long does it get through that to get to that list? I mean, you get to the back of that list, what are you looking at? Like years?
It can take years, anywhere from 5 to 10 years before your name gets called up.
That's the situation, all right. All right, we're going to continue our conversation. We've got the Mayor Ivy Taylor with us, Lourdes Castro Ramirez, CEO of SAHA, San Antonio Housing Authority. We'll take your calls when we come back. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment about affordable housing in San Antonio, we want to hear from you. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The challenges of affordable housing, it causes all sorts of problems for a community, cycles of poverty and underperformance of many Americans trying to lift up their lives and find a quality of life that is acceptable. Poor housing options causes all sorts of ripple effects in a community as far as pockets of crime, economic insecurity, issues of health. Causing asthma, neighborhood quality, it impacts people as seniors, disabled, folks with many children. These are issues that affect our friends and neighbors and family members, and it affects the entire city. So we're talking about what the future of affordable housing is for San Antonio. Mayor Ivy Taylor has a task force on preserving dynamic and diverse neighborhoods, and they're looking at options. And we invite you to join our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's go straight to the phones with Renee. Renee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My only comment is a short one, and that is I live in the Mission San Jose area, and I noticed that for some reason or another, Central City, a department with the city of San Antonio, has always been trying to get more affordable housing in our community area. We have five already existing units in our community, right by Mission San Jose. And it seems like every other year we got to get a petition and fight back the city. It depresses the community area. We believe in affordable housing, believe me, but we believe that it's a big disservice when they concentrate it and they don't disperse it throughout the city because the services are very limited to nothing. And so we've been pushing a Central City approach. Bring in the services. If you're going to have these affordable housing, then bring in services to follow or be there where they put them. I think that's essential and important, and I'm hoping that the city will take that as serious planning advice to map out the city and see where is it that they have very depressed areas because they put in politically motivated or whatever motivated it, affordable housing in very concentrated areas.
Renee, thank you for the call. Thanks for that comment. Appreciate that. So Mayor Taylor, this is something that even the Supreme Court is looking at right now, and it has to do with the Fair Housing Act and whether or not it's discrimination to cluster affordable housing into areas that are already economically depressed and are dealing with a number of issues. And why don't we put these housing developments in other neighborhoods where schools are better and people will have more opportunities to break the cycle of poverty?
Well, I think Renee certainly brings up a good point, which goes towards my point about the need for us to create stable mixed income neighborhoods throughout the city. And yes, we all realize now after some years of concentrating poverty in pockets that there is no benefit to that. And actually the people who live in those areas usually do have less services available to them, and there are many other negative aspects. So we need to move towards a policy where we can create opportunities for people at various income levels to live near each other, because that would have an impact on the quality of the schools.
Right.
And
so,
other services.
Lourdes Castro Ramirez, CEO of the San Antonio Housing Authority, did you want to add to that?
Yes, definitely. I think also in Rene's comment, he speaks to the importance of providing other services. And as a strategy, as we look at affordable housing, it's not enough to just provide the physical the physical environment, the housing unit, the quality safe housing unit. It is extremely important to also provide the linkages and the connection to education, job training, and support services. And at the Housing Authority, the priority that we have is to ensure that families that are moving into an affordable housing environment have that level of support to both improve their economic stability, but also to obtain self-sufficiency. So as we think about the revitalization and the renovation of neighborhoods, I think it is important to think about housing and services and the importance of working an approach that is comprehensive in nature and that attempts to address the root cause of poverty or lack of affordability.
And Mayor Taylor?
I just also wanted to add that Renee talked about the city's planning on this issue for the future, and I want to mention that we are in the process of developing a comprehensive plan for our city, and it will include a housing element, and that we'll be assembling work groups of housing professionals and advocates and community folks to talk about how we can more effectively address this issue. And as a starting point, we'll be holding a San Antonio Housing Policy Summit in the first week in May, because right now we really don't have a comprehensive city housing policy. So we want to think more strategically about how all these various segments work together.
All right. We're joined by Mayor Ivy Taylor and Lourdes Castro Ramirez, the CEO of the San Antonio Housing Authority. We invite your phone calls if you've got questions or comments about affordable housing in San Antonio. So, Mayor Taylor, let me ask you about something that's been reported that y'all are considering a bond maybe in 2017 that citizens would vote on and that would generate income that would help alleviate some of our housing issues?
Yes, this is one of the ideas that was generated through the committee that's been tackling diverse and dynamic neighborhoods in the wake of the Mission Trail zoning case. And so one of the potential solutions has been for us to include a line item within our upcoming 2017 bond that would address housing. Now, we want to talk with the community about what that would look like, but there have been some examples from other cities that have implemented this strategy. In Austin in particular, they have had two successful housing bonds. I think a portion of the funding focused on seniors, housing for seniors. In Houston, in contrast, they use the funding for demolition of dilapidated structures in the inner city. So we want to figure out what might work for us here, because we know that the federal funds continue to shrink. So we have to figure out how we can develop new revenue sources to address these critical issues.
And what would be a funding source to deal with the bond, paying back the bonds?
Well, it would work just like the bonds that we use for infrastructure.
So, okay, got it. All right, let's go back to the phone lines with Leslie. Leslie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. What about requiring developers to set aside a percentage of low-income units?
That is an excellent question that we have been kicking around in the task force meetings. And what we have found is in the state of Texas here that we are prohibited from requiring that. So what we need to look at is how we can incentivize including more affordable units. But our state law prohibits us from making that a requirement.
Right. So in other places, you have someone putting up an apartment complex. They have to put a certain number of units aside for affordable housing. And some people have complained that it's counterproductive because the owner of that building will just pass that cost on to everyone else. And you're continuing the cycle of this disparity in opportunities and in rent. But let me ask you, Lourdes Castro-Ramirez over at Saha, I'm still mulling over this fact that you've got 40,000 families on this waiting list that could take years to get through. Clearly, there's not enough resources to help everyone that needs some sort of assistance. So what do we do?
Well, so the strategies that we are employing and that I think also are strategies similar to what other cities have employed, are one, investing in the renovation and rehabilitation of existing affordable housing units. So to that end, we just completed the renovation of a public housing community in downtown San Antonio that's serving senior citizens. Second is providing education, job, and community opportunities to improve family outcomes. Most families want and desire to do better in life, but they're, needing the connection and the supports. And so we are placing a lot of emphasis on improving educational outcomes and creating linkages to job training and increasing employment. And thirdly, expanding the supply of mixed-income housing communities. In fact, in the last 5 years, the Housing Authority has developed 1,500 new units of affordable housing units in the context of a mixed-income community. Again, as Mayor Taylor mentioned, this model of concentrating poor families does not work, and so we understand that, and the model has shifted to ensuring that different socioeconomic families with different socioeconomic backgrounds have an opportunity to live in a place and enjoy the amenities of the neighborhood.
Okay, another caller, Jesse is on the line. Jesse, welcome to The Source.
Hi, yeah, and I don't know exactly who would be best to field this question, but my issue or my question is how do you all feel the current minimum wage impacts this particular situation? There are a lot of concerned citizens that do feel that, this housing situation is a direct result of the stagnant minimum wage. I mean, usually the argument is the fact that, increasing the minimum wage would cause the price of everything else to go up. Whereas in this particular situation, I mean, especially people that rent apartments, we know that our rents go up every year because of market demand and market value. Whereas wages don't.
So Jesse, I'm going to let you go because get an answer to this question. I appreciate that really good question. So The problem is the housing, affordable housing, is it's a symptom of another problem, that work doesn't pay. People work really, really hard, and they're not getting income to adjust that. We see in San Antonio that the average cost for a two-bedroom apartment, a monthly rent, is $874. That's a lot of money for a lot of people. So how do we deal with that, Mayor Taylor?
Well, certainly that is a much broader discussion that we need to have. But for me, it points to something that I wanted to draw everyone's attention to. I think it was the second strategy that Lourdes said the Housing Authority employs, which is focusing on jobs and workforce development. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity here in San Antonio to work with many of our residents to connect them to opportunities to increase their education and skill level so that they can obtain jobs that would allow them to have more discretionary income. We've been having some conversations about that with some of our local employers who actually have jobs that go unfilled because they're unable to find the people here who have the skills or education to be able to fill those jobs. And those aren't all jobs that require four-year degrees or even necessarily two-year technical degrees, but do require a little more training than what is you get coming out of high school. So I really want to elevate the conversation about how we can engage more people. We can't just assume that those 40,000 people will always just be on the list and be at that level where they need assistance from the Housing Authority. What we need to do is create ladders of opportunity for them so that they can earn more, so that they will be better situated to be able to pay the rising costs, not just of housing, but of everything else.
So that SAHA would be able to more able to help people who are disabled and the elderly, which
exactly.
is pretty much what the intent right. is, and not so much for everyone else who's working really hard but not making enough money to find a good place to live.
Right.
All right. So I'll thank both of y'all for joining us. And Mayor Ivy Taylor, you're always welcome. Let us know whenever you want to come on the air to talk about something on your mind. Lourdes Castro Ramirez, the same for you. Thank you so much, the CEO of SAHA. And when we come back, we're talking about cities trying to attract those big, high-paying jobs. What can San Antonio do better to be a giant job magnet? Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX.